It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Cases of flu and other respiratory illnesses are at very high levels across Wisconsin, according to data from the state health department.
Since September, the state reports more than 2,000 flu-related hospitalizations, impacting people 65 and older the most.
We're digging into flu risk and prevention amid the spread of other respiratory illnesses.
Megan Meller is an infection preventionist with Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. Megan, welcome back to Wisconsin Today. Megan, are you there?
I am.
Great.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Now, both the State Department of Health and the Wisconsin Academy of Family Physicians are saying, hey, the number of flu cases are high across the state. What are you seeing in the La Crosse area right now?
We are seeing a lot of influenza. You know, currently in hospitalizations, the majority of our patients hospitalized right now with different infections are hospitalized with influenza. We're seeing that mainly to among the patients who are 65 and older, like the state of Wisconsin, like general state of Wisconsin is seeing.
And sometimes people think flu, a pretty minor illness, and in a lot of cases will be pretty minor, but there are some serious risks that can come from influenza. Can you talk about why we worry about this?
One of the biggest risks with influenza is the infections that come afterwards. So what most people don't realize is that when someone's hospitalized with influenza, it's often with the bacterial pneumonia that comes after the infection. So people's immune systems are already pretty weakened, and then they end up getting a bacterial pneumonia, and that's what lands them in the hospital, usually with acute respiratory failure. This is primarily happening around people who have underlying health issues, sometimes with like COPD, other chronic health conditions. And they usually end up hospitalized for a few days needing oxygen until they can recover enough for discharge.
Now, we see, as you mentioned, this flu, mainly we worry about it for people 65 and older. We have seen one death of a child in Wisconsin recently, some cases elsewhere in the country. Rare. I don't want to alarm people. But when do we worry when we see influenza hit a kid and say, hey, we need to take some extra precautions, get in for extra treatment here?
With children and getting influenza, they can get really high fevers, and their immune systems can give a really strong response to the flu. And this is what can oftentimes result in death. And so it's really important, like I said, these are rare cases, but it's really important, especially in children, to make sure they're getting vaccinations. You know, one of the biggest advantages of getting vaccination for any age is that it really puts a curb on those complications that can come from flu. So most people, instead of feeling ill for, let's say, a couple of weeks and having maybe getting pneumonia, are going to recover a lot faster and be on their feet. So that's kind of the biggest thing that we can do for both kids and elderly, really for anyone of any age, is getting vaccinated.
Let's stay with vaccinations for a moment. Now, this time around, I got vaccinated in the fall. I've made that a habit. But back in the day, it wasn't such a habit for me. And this time of year, if I hadn't had one, well, I might think it's February, flu season's coming in, it's too late for me to get a vaccine. Rob was wrong, right?
Yeah, my favorite phrase this time of the year is it's never too late to get the flu shot. Vaccines usually take about 2 weeks until you are fully protected from it, but they will start working pretty quickly. And so it's really important to, if you haven't even gotten one yet, to go ahead and get one. You know, we're still offering them within our healthcare facility. They're pretty easy to get throughout the community, and they're really going to help people bounce back quickly from the flu. So you might feel miserable for a day or two, but you're not going to have those that long-term feeling of illness.
Can you talk about treatment of influenza for the worst cases? What kind of treatments are out there?
For patients that are at high risk for developing these complications, we usually look at pregnant moms, those with underlying health issues. There are antivirals available, like Tamiflu, that can be given usually within the early phases of illness. So it's really important if you are high risk and you just started having symptoms of flu, to reach out to your healthcare provider and get on those antivirals quickly, because they're not usually as effective if they're given later in the illness course.
And then you mentioned the real danger is you get the influenza. That's a virus, but that opens the door to pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia. So I'm guessing in those cases where people are being especially hospitalized for this, antibiotics might be part of the picture then.
Absolutely. By the time they're coming into the hospital with pneumonia, not only are they getting supplemental oxygen, but they're also getting antibiotics to fight that bacterial pneumonia. I think it's just important for people to remember that antibiotics aren't going to be useful for that initial phase of influenza. It's really getting antivirals if you need them, taking care of yourself. But again, if you're developing that pneumonia, then your provider will often give you antibiotics to treat that piece.
We're talking about the spread of influenza, and we'll get into some other respiratory viruses as the flu season continues. Megan Meller is with us, infection preventionist with Gunderson Health System. Megan, my favorite way to deal with the flu, of course, is to not get it at all over the course of the season. Apart from vaccines, what are some of our hygiene tips that can help prevent getting and or spreading influenza?
My favorite hygiene tips work for pretty much every respiratory illness, and that is making sure that you're washing your hands. People don't often realize how many times they touch their face with dirty hands until they really start to notice it becomes kind of in their forefront. But washing your hands regularly throughout the day with soap and water, using hand sanitizer if you're out in public, just being mindful that you're not touching your face, let's say after touching that grocery cart or, you know, at the, you know, department store. Covering your cough. If you have a cough, throwing on a mask, making sure that you're not spreading that cough to others. And just in general, we always say that if you're not feeling well, making sure that you're staying home and taking care of yourself, getting nutritious foods, getting enough sleep. These are all things, too, that you can even do preventative to help prevent you from getting sick later on in the season.
Now, back in the first year of COVID, 2020, obviously not a great year in a lot of ways. But interestingly, hospitalizations for influenza in the state, 28, if I read the numbers right. We're talking about a couple thousand now. Obviously, we're not going to take some of the more extreme measures just for influenza that brought those numbers down. But did we learn some lessons in that year of what can keep flu from spreading and being a hazard to people?
Right. You know, well, the thing with influenza is that each year is going to be a little bit different. So it can be really unpredictable to see how things are, you know, how the virus is going to play out. What we did see with COVID was when masking got implemented and, you know, a lot of people were masking, they were staying home, they weren't moving about, is we saw a decrease in other respiratory conditions. We didn't see as much flu. We didn't see as much RSV. And, you know, in some ways that's really good, especially for our patients who are immunocompromised. And so it's really that distancing. It's being mindful of hand hygiene that can really go a long way, too, in just reducing some of these infections from year to year.
Now, we're mainly talking about influenza here, but this RSV, respiratory virus, help me out, yeah.
Yeah, respiratory syncytial virus.
Thank you.
You know, another virus that we typically see every single year that... We, like flu, we have to also manage, but that impacts kids who are usually infants more severely than anyone else.
And the levels are high but stable, whereas flu has been going up. Is this something you're seeing a lot at Gunderson and in the La Crosse area, the RSV showing up?
So with RSV, we typically test for that in our younger kids, but because for many adults, if they get RSV, it's going to look like the common cold, and it's not something that you would typically test for. But among our pediatric populations, we are seeing, you know, kids who are being kids, especially, you know, infants under the age of one being positive for RSV. So it's still out there. It's still something that we watch really closely because no one wants to have their infant hospitalized.
And are we vaccinating for RSV? And if so, who should be thinking about that?
We do have some treatments out for RSV now, which is really exciting. You know, these have started coming out in the past couple of years. So right now we are still offering, and it's like an antibody treatment. It's called Beyfortus, and that's for children under 5. There are certain eligibility criteria for that. So I recommend that if a parent of a young child wants to they want to get them vaccinated or get them that RSV treatment, to reach out to their provider to determine eligibility. Also during the winter, like the fall and winter months, we do offer an antibody or vaccine for pregnant mothers as well. So that way they're protecting their newborn once they're born. That is no longer available simply because right now when moms are currently pregnant now, they're often delivering in the summer. That's when there's less of a risk for getting RSV.
And then finally, COVID-19 numbers, I know, had gone up in December and through the holidays. If I understand correctly, that's declined some since then. So maybe a bit of good news on the virus transmission front there.
Yeah, it's definitely a good news with COVID. You know, we're still trying to figure out its trends throughout the year, but we are seeing a decrease right now, which is good since we're busy managing influenza. That's not to say that cases can eventually climb again. We do start to see cases of COVID climb in the fall, but at least or in the summer. But right now, in terms of hospitalizations, we're not seeing that many patients hospitalized with COVID-19 currently.
So I want to end with some practical advice. Let's start with parents. Any parent has been there. Is my kid sick enough to where I should call the doctor? When we're looking at respiratory illnesses, especially for those younger kids, what are some of those symptoms and signs that say, yeah, give a call?
You know, for me, if my child was having a really high fever, like 103, 104, if they're not able to keep fluids down, if they're having dry diapers, that's when I would be picking up the phone and reaching out to my doctor to see what kind of steps that we can take to help my child out. So pay attention to that. If a child has any signs of respiratory distress, like blue lips, make sure you're getting them into the doctor as soon as possible. And even if, you know, these same things, if you are of any age and you're having a really high fever, it doesn't hurt to call your doctor. Or if you're over the age of 60 and having these same symptoms, reaching out and just seeing what next steps you should take.
Yeah, and I wanted to go to that older end of the spectrum now, age 60, 65 and up, those high fevers, obviously. What other symptoms or maybe pre-existing conditions should make people a little quicker to seek some help?
Usually, if you have an underlying, like a respiratory pre-existing condition like COPD, any of these respiratory conditions are just going to be a lot harder to fight. So paying attention to that. If you have underlying immune conditions, especially if you're immunocompromised, those are also something to pay attention to. And it would also make people eligible, let's say, for antivirals for COVID or for influenza and even the vaccine. So there's a vaccine eligible for vaccine for the elderly for RSV too. So looking into those preventative measures as well, just to make sure that you have your ducks in a row.
And Megan, you mentioned earlier influenza season. It's hard to predict. Typically, when do we start to say, okay, this is the typical end of flu season in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin has a really robust laboratory system where we keep track of positive test rates. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll start to see those cases start to decline. We'll feel within the community as well, but it's a little bit too early to say for right now when that peak of influenza is coming or whether it's here or not.
Megan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Megan Meller, infection preventionist with Gunderson Health System based in La Crosse. We've been talking about this year's flu season in Wisconsin and some of the other respiratory illnesses that are going around.